analysis by ClimateWorks Australia indicates that we will be able to transition to net zero emissions by 2050, the target also announced by ALP leader Anthony Albanese. There will be a body of work to be done, however, for our national grid to accommodate the changing source of power generation. Roderick Chambers asked Tony Wood, Director of Energy Programs at Grattan Institute, where the challenges are likely to come from in order to achieve this target.
The bit's unusual in Australia is the rooftop solar. The combination of that together with large-scale solar and wind means that we might very well see a situation where we've got more than 40% renewables by 2030. Now, that number is what's behind the government's own projections that the electricity sector is well on track to achieve its proportionate share of the current government's 2030 target of 26 to 28% reduction in emissions.
Of course, with the pricing models that we have at the moment, it's fine and well if you have a rooftop to put your solar panels on, but if you're in high density housing, you don't have roofs. So is there anything going to be done to try and smooth that out a bit?
Look, that you put your finger on a very important issue, Rod, and I think that has been a lot of focus of attention because there are a range of reasons why people might not have the putting aside the money. I mean, because at the moment, whilst it's not quite as attractive today as it was a few years ago, in fact, the cost of the systems has kept coming down, means you can still get a payback in a reasonable period. I mean, by reasonable, I would sort of say if you can get a payback and then be making money after that in about 5 or 6 years, 7 years, that's on average the amount of time people spend in a house. So you're ahead before you move. If you're in these other situations, whether you're in a rental property, maybe in a house, you know, some people have heritage protection on their houses, they can't put solar on the roof, you may be in an apartment, etc. There's obviously a range of restrictions there. Now, the best you can hope for if you're in an apartment, for example, is you may be able to sign up and support a solar or wind farm nearby. And there's been some of those done. There is a lot more work being done on rental properties. The trick here with rental properties, whether or not you're in a low-income or a high-income rental property, is that if you save electricity by having solar on your roof, then the occupant gets the benefit, but the occupant can't pay for it because they don't own the roof. And so what the issue there is to introduce some new regulations to enable the owner of the building to finance putting on the solar on the roof and then to recover that from the tenant over the period of their lease.
Recently, too, the Andrews government in Victoria have requested release from the plan, the combined grid plan, so that they can introduce new renewables. What's all that about?
Well, there's been a tension for now some time between the different ambitions of different governments around Australia, state and federal and territory governments, in terms of what they want to do about renewable energy and lower emissions. And the challenge is to make sure that as we do increase the proportion of renewable energy, we can connect it all. Now, at the rooftop level, that means making sure that we don't have situations of developing, and we have these becoming potentially a risk in the suburbs, where effectively during the middle of the day when many people are at work, the amount of solar being produced on the roof of all these houses is more than the electricity being consumed in the houses. So you end up with the network has trouble with that because these networks have always been designed around the concept of electricity moving, you know, from the centre to the houses rather than the other way around. So there's some big, significant technical problems that have to be resolved there. They're not incapable of being resolved technically, but there are additional complexity and some degree a bit of a cost that offsets the benefit of solar to ensure that the system remains stable. And of course, that's where the role of batteries can become very important. Now, at the larger scale, the issue is if we're going to build a whole lot of solar farms and wind farms driven by any government policy, whether it's federal or state, then they're going to have to be connected to the grid. And the same way that, you know, large coal-fired or gas-fired power stations in places like the Latrobe Valley, for example, the transmission line that brings that power through big transformers into our cities and towns, it has to be there. Now, that's already well if you want to connect your solar farm or your wind farm into the existing grid structure. But if you're looking to build in part of, say, northwest Victoria, where we don't have this grid, or whether where the grid doesn't have much more capacity to deal with more input, then that's something that has to be addressed. And so what the Victorian government's been very concerned about, it's got a pretty aggressive renewable energy target. Its frustration is that it's not being able to get the transmission built to ensure that extra capacity can be connected. And there's even been cases where developers and investors have progressed a long way down the track to build a solar farm or a wind farm and find that they're not able to sell all of their output into the grid because the grid can't deal with their connection, either because there's just not enough capacity in the network or because the style of electricity that you're feeding into the grid from, say, for example, a solar farm could potentially destabilise on technical basis the voltage and frequency of the electricity, which is something that the technology people, the power engineering people have to be concerned about. So those limitations are where the Victorian government's been frustrated that, in their view, the national reform processes to connect all this stuff have fallen behind the ambitions of the state government to connect more wind and solar. And so there's a mismatch, and what the Victorian government's wanting to do is, to some extent, bypass the existing regulatory processes and push through with having the new transmission and capacity, augmenting the transmission system to make sure that it can deal with the extra renewables that the state government wants to connect.
But wouldn't that sort of add more chaos than it actually takes away?
Well, potentially for a while, yes. And that's why, you know, I think it's, I understand the state government's frustration here, but there is a risk that in doing this, you could create some more problems. And so my preference would be that we deal with this to make sure that all those regulatory processes that we'll put in place to ensure that we don't cause some problems down the track, and those processes are still followed. And I think the getting the balance right here is going to be important, because the reason I say that is because we don't want to see a situation in which the influx of renewable energy leads to problems more than it actually solves.
Just in regard to the announcement made by Anthony Albanese, is that achievable, do you think, zero by 2050?
Well, this will sound a little bit pedantic, Rob, but he and others use the word net zero by 2050. So the interviewer, David Spears, on the ABC was talking about net zero. Does that, you know, zero mean we can't have any cows anymore by 2050, for example? And the answer is no, because we're talking about net zero. So if we still have cows and we haven't fundamentally changed the insides of the cow processes so that, you know, cows are well-known burpers and farters, I mean, particularly the burping is the challenge with greenhouse gas emissions, then if we are producing emissions from those cows, then those emissions have to be offset somewhere else. So someone else has to be effectively absorbing emissions. Now,
And briefly, Tony, there are some people who are working on the emissions from cows, which may bring them down anyway.
So absolutely.
We might have a problem, as much as a problem as you think. Yeah.
And that's why it's important to have, because I've spoken to many farmers, both dairy and cattle farmers, who would say, look, give us the incentive and we will reduce the emissions from our livestock. We can do things. It may not come down to zero, but right now, as you and I are talking, we're producing greenhouse gas emissions because we're breathing out CO2 in our breath. So you'll never get it down to everything down to zero. But ultimately, we will have to think about, well, do we, for the emissions that remain, assuming we haven't by then converted to, you know, vegan cow's meat, then we will have to find a way of offsetting those emissions into other things.
Tony Wood, Director of Energy Programs at the Grattan Institute there, speaking with Rod Chambers.